Go ahead and turn to the book of John, chapter 15. John, chapter 15. Are you turning? We'd like to go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we bow our head before you and we thank you for this day and how you've been good to us throughout today, Lord. We're just giving us countless blessings and things that maybe we're not even mindful of. And it's good to be able to come into a place to worship you and even sing these old psalms, dear Lord. It's very precious to our heart as we think of what you've done for us and what you will do for us. And Lord, even how we could better serve you. I pray that you'd help us to be mindful of your will and your way and help me to get across your message that it might be a blessing to us, that we could receive it and we could be instructed and encouraged by it and help us to draw closer to you. I pray tomorrow we could walk a little closer to you than we did today. For those who are lost, I pray that you'd open their eyes and help them to see that they are in a very desperate situation and there's no way out except through the door. And I pray they would understand and be willing to accept Jesus Christ because Jesus is the door. I pray, Lord, that you would bless these young people growing up and things they go through. I pray that you'd help them and help give them wisdom. And I pray that they would see a need to choose wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. And I pray that you would help them to have a desire to seek your word. And not just the young people, but all of us, that we could just search your word and make it precious. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. John chapter 15, Jesus is given some great instruction and very encouraging words to his church, to his people, and maybe his final, just his final moments here on earth. He told the church, he said, "I am the vine, ye are the branches." And he lets us know with that, as children of God, that we are to bear much fruit, much spiritual fruit. And he, you know, equates a child of God's life to something that anyone could understand. We understand fruit trees. We understand the tomato vine and things like that and how that they produce and how that sometimes maybe they're not producing. They've got to be they've got to be pruned and things of that nature. Got to be fertilized and all of that, and especially this time of year, most of us would be pretty familiar with those things. But he said, "I am the vine, ye are the branches, and I want you, child of God, to produce much spiritual fruit." Now, we'd all understand, without going into a Bible lesson, that there's nine. Well, the Bible gives us a list of nine spiritual fruit. And we could go and look at those, but I believe you'd all be familiar with them. And I want to ask you, how is that in your life? Do you see that? Do others see that spiritual fruit in your life? If there's someone that's lost, do they see joy coming from you that they could pass by and pluck from you? Do they see some long suffering that they don't see anywhere else in the world, but they see it with you? Do they see peace? Do they see, kindness, things like that, gentleness? And do they see that in your life? Do they see the temperance that would grow from the child of God? And he said, "Well, if we're going to produce fruit, then we have to abide in Him, and we will do that." Now, if we depart to the world, and again, he's not talking to lost people here. He's talking to saved people. And he's talking to the church, and he says that if you choose not to abide in me, then you are going to wither away. You're not going to produce fruit. You are going to wither away. So he says, if we keep his commandments, we abide in his love, or abide in him. Jesus is love. God is love. So if we keep his commandments, then that means that we do abide in him. So look at verse 8. "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You're my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I call you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of me, of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they'll keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sins. Now, there's a lot said in all that, but tonight, what I want us to get, and just to remind us of something that we already know, there is a divide that we must be aware of. And there is an old man, and there is a new man. We are saved, and we don't have to ever worry about being lost again. Once we're saved, we are sealed until the day of redemption, kept by the power of God. But we still have an old nature about us. And Paul mentions that many times. And he talks about how the things that I would not, that do I. The things that I would, that I don't do. And I know I got that all butchered up. But he just goes through a long list. I want to do good, but I've also got the old fleshly man that's right there. And many times I follow after the flesh and I make mistakes. So, there's a divide, a spiritual nature, and there's a carnal nature. And all you got to do is stop and consider. You've got that. You're contending with that. Now, I believe everybody here at Clear Branch, you want to do good. But how many times you mess up? How many times you make a mistake? We give in to the old nature. We want what we want. We want what the flesh wants. And so we make that mistake. And so I want you to see that divide. You've got, on the one hand, you have a desire to be like Christ. On the other hand, you have a desire to go into the world and do the things of the world and please the flesh. And so that divide is there. And we, many times, we give in to the one that we feed the most. You've heard that saying. I'm not going to use that story again tonight. But whichever one we feed the most, if we're feeding the Spirit, we're more likely to do the things of God. If we feed in the flesh, we're more likely going to do the things of the flesh. And so, you know, there's a heavenly draw and there's a worldly draw. So often we find ourselves as Christians trying to find our joy in the world. That's the reason we sin. We sin because it's enticing. We sin because it looks appealing. You know, they don't put that billboard, you know, as you're driving down the road and you see the billboard and you see the big old beer bottle up there. They don't put an ugly picture. They put that bottle with the drops running down the side. And on a good summer day, you ride by and you look at that and say, boy, that looks good. It's enticing. And I'm not, you know, not that I want to go get a beer, but they make it look good. It looks refreshing when you're hot. It looks like it would quench your thirst, don't it? They don't show what's on the other side of the billboard. What's on the other side, the broken homes that come from the alcohol. They don't show those that's been killed in car accidents, things like that. They don't show those things. They don't show how it totally possesses a life until a person is left with nothing but alcohol, and later on you know, all the way to death. They don't show those things. And that's just one example. But we find ourselves, you know, many times we look to, I want to enjoy life. And so the way that I'm going to enjoy life is I've got to find something in the world that I enjoy. Something in the world that will entertain me. And, you know, I want to enjoy the worldly life. I want to feed my fleshly desires. I want to enjoy life as a saved carnal person. You don't have to look far. Brother Chris, we can look at, you know, everywhere all around us. And we see people say, well, I'm saved. But are they living like Christ? No. They're living like the world. And that would be somebody, if they are saved, or if we are saved and we're doing that, then we're living a very carnal life. And so, you know, we do that. Well, I want to enjoy the things of the world. Now, Jesus said the world hated Him, and the world's going to hate us. If we try to live a life that's Christ-like, Brother Mike, if we, you know, constantly mention Jesus to others, you know, the world's going to hate us because they hate Him. And so, we'll just be honest tonight. As part of that, really don't sound appealing. And so, Brother Alton, it's easy to see why there's so many people say, well, I want to do what the world is doing because it looks like they're having fun, and it looks like that I could pick some of that and I could enjoy my life, and I am saved. So I don't have to worry about it. I'm still going to heaven. And it's easy to see why you say, well, if I decide to live like Christ wants me to, and not mix and mingle in the world and not do the things everybody else is doing, that, you know, the world's going to hate me and people are going to hate me and they're going to persecute me. And so, you know, I'll just pick the carnal life. I want to enjoy the few years that I have here on this earth. Can I ask you something now? How many people you know saved is enjoying sin? It may look like for a time they are. You ever heard anybody that went out and cheated on their wife, threw away their family, say, well, they enjoying life? But they started out feeling like they was going to enjoy themselves. A child of God that was got saved, maybe was in church for a while, and he got out of church and got out in the world, went wallowed around in sin, and, you know, maybe started drinking or whatever. Do they enjoy that? Maybe for a little while, start with. Or at least it may appear that they do for a little bit. I want you to understand something, especially young people here. We can find great joy in Christ. And I'm going to go a little bit further than that. To be a child of God, the only way we will ever find joy is to find it in Christ. And I'm going to try to prove that tonight. But, okay, he says, love one another as Christ loves us, and our joy might be full. Verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. I love how he says that my joy might remain in you. You know, how often we take the attitude, I've been wronged, so I need to seek revenge. It just feels right. Somebody wrongs me, it feels right, like I would enjoy it a little bit to get revenge on them. Does it ever work out that way? I've been hated, so I tell you what, this person hates me, I'm going to hate them. Maybe you see that in families sometimes. Maybe somebody in the family is acting a little bit ugly. And so, you know, this family member turns and says, "Well, I tell you what, they're being ugly to me. I'll be ugly to them. And I'm not going to speak to them until they speak to me." And then, split. Where's joy in that? There's no joy there. But to the carnal man, it seems like that's just the way to go. They cheated me, so I'm going to have to cheat them back. That just makes sense. They got over on me, so I need to get over on them a little bit more. To the carnal man, that sounds right. And that sounds like the only way you ever going to, you know, really get somewhere in life, you're going to have to turn around and cheat them. And so we develop the attitude. And this is rampant in the world we live in. There's an attitude that I need to do unto you before you do unto me. And people have become callous and people have become cold. And even Christians today, many times, we don't want anything to do with anybody else except ourselves, me, myself, and I. You get on the elevator. How often do you have a conversation with somebody on the elevator? Generally, if you have a conversation, it's because you started it. Because most people, they get on the elevator and they get in their corner and they stare down at their feet. They look around, look up or something. They don't want to make eye contact with you because if they do, they might have to speak. And so I'll just remain over here by myself. We've kind of told ourselves that. And you know, the attitude, just do unto you before you do unto me. God gave us a rule, the golden rule. Matthew 7, where's the verse at? Is that verse 12? I believe it is. The golden rule, therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do you also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Don't quote me on the verse, but I think that's right. Whatever you would that someone does unto you, well, you go ahead and do that to them. That's a little bit different than do unto others before they do unto you. Unless you plan on doing unto others good. But if you want somebody to be kind to you, you go ahead and be kind to them. If you want somebody to love you, you go ahead and love them first. Ain't that how Jesus did us? He loved us whenever we was unlovable. He loved us first. Whenever we didn't know what love was, He loved us first. Why is that different than the world? The world knows absolutely nothing about love. The world knows absolutely nothing about joy. Who's going to show it to them? No wonder Jesus said, "Bear much fruit." And if you will do that, you will understand and my joy will remain in you and your joy will be full. Now, I admit there's a part of me, Brother Mike, when I sit there and think about that, I say, well, it just sounds backwards. To be good to people that don't want to be good to you. To love somebody that they don't want to love you, to be nice to somebody, kind to somebody, and they can't be kind back. It just sounds backwards, but that's what Jesus did. He loved the world when the world hated Him. He said, you do that, bear much fruit. So let me ask you this. Why does the world seem so cold toward us? Why is evil getting worse and worse? Why has the news, if you turn on the news, and I'm not advising you to do that. In fact, I'm going to just go ahead and say, if you can turn it off and live with it, do that. Something big comes up, somebody will let you know. But why has the news turned so against Christians? Why is there a turning away even among God's people? Because it first hated Christ, it will also hate us. Because they hated Christ. They're going to hate us too. And the darker it gets, that just gives us great opportunity. The brighter our light does shine. Now, I'm trying to come at this from both angles, and I'm kind of getting twisted up, so y'all just bear with me. If we act as the world acts, as a child of God, if we act like the world wants us to act, just blend in, don't say anything about Christ, don't show anything about Christ, then the world will love us until they discover that you go to church, until they discover that you're a Christian on a Sunday. Then you know what happens? You're found out to be a hypocrite. I don't know if that's a leading cause for people not going to church, but I tell you what, that's the greatest excuse they're going to give. I don't go to church because the hypocrites go down there. That's not a good excuse, by the way, but it's still an excuse nonetheless, and people use it awful lot. And it definitely does hurt the church when someone in the world sees a hypocrite. Because they say, well, they don't even believe what they say they believe. There's a problem there with being a hypocrite. We cannot be content acting. You are a child of God. To be a child of God, we are to present ourselves as a child of God, and to do anything different, well, we are not of this world. So just don't fit. I can't be something that I'm not. You ever tell people, you just be who you are. Just be who you are. You can't be something different. Well, when you're a child of God, you've been born again and you are a new person. And we're to be like Christ. And to try to be anything different than that is just awkward. Now, because we struggle with the old man and the old nature, we are drawn away of our own lust and entice, and thus we do sin. None of us are perfect. But can I ask you this question? How often, or let me say it like this, how long does it take after you sin before you feel guilty about it? It's hard to enjoy it when you feel guilty. It's hard to enjoy sin whenever you feel guilty about sin. You know, if you go and... I tell you, my conscience gets me. I can walk by and, you know, maybe... just a Coke machine, and you mess up, and you know, the Coke machine, you mash the button and the Coke falls out and the money falls back out too, and I think, my goodness, if I take this now, I've robbed the Coke machine. What I do? Leave the money there or take the Coke or what? So, Joanne, that's silly, Brother Brad. Well, you know, I think we should always be mindful of others. We should always love others better than we do ourselves. And a child of God cannot really sin without being bothered. You know, it appears that the world enjoys sin. Brother Brad, why do they enjoy sin? Why can't I enjoy sin? You know, they make it look good. They make it look enticing. The world is in bondage to sin. We're not. We've been freed from sin. So for us to go back into sin or go back and live a carnal life, it makes you feel a little bit dirty. Makes you feel like you're returning, wallowing in the mire. It now hurts us. I trust everybody, you can say the same thing tonight. As a child of God, does it now hurt you to hurt Christ? Trust it does. It now hurts you to hurt Christ. Well, He saved you. He freed you from the bondage of sin. And now when you start dabbling in carnality and you decide, well, I want to do what everybody else in the world is doing, you know you're hurting Christ. Brad, what do we need to do? You remember, was it Sunday, we talked about the seven virtues that we'd add to our faith? Add to your faith, virtue, and virtue, knowledge, and temperance, and patience, and all those seven different ones. Remember the last one? When we get out, we've added brotherly kindness, or we've added godliness, and we've added brotherly kindness, and then we're to add charity. What's charity? Charity is godly love, self-sacrificial love. All right, let's go back and reread this one more time, verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. You won't really enjoy life. You get to a place where you've added to your faith virtue, and the virtue knowledge and temperance and patience and godliness and brotherly kindness and charity. And you begin to add those things. And that's not one thing. Well, I've added a full load of knowledge, and then I've added a full load of patience. And no, these are things we build on throughout our life over and over every day. But whenever we start learning to have love, he said, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Whenever we get to a place where we love people, when we love the lost sinner, the way Christ showed us love, then we start showing that fruit that Christ wants us to show. And our joy is within us. It is full. Wouldn't you like to be full of joy tonight? How many of us can say, I am absolutely full of joy? He said, it's in you now. You're a child of God. Again, one more time. If ye keep my commandment, ye shall abide in me, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. If you're here and you're lost tonight, the Bible said, for God so what? For God so loved the world. I want you to think about that. For God so loved the world. There's a point in time where that was you. You were a sinner just like everybody else in the world. And God so loved you. When you were unlovable, he so loved you. He gave Jesus so that all you had to do is believe on him and you could be saved. Child of God, you learn to love like he first loved us. And our joy and be full. We'll ask for a song.